Welcome to the Indianola First Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our prayer is that this message will inspire you, encourage you, and launch you into life-changing action.
We are in the last 2 weeks of our series in 1st and 2nd Peter. Just been driving through this book for 9 weeks, it'll be total. And although Peter's tone seems to change a bit in the chapter, in the last chapter of 2 Peter, which is what we're on, chapter 3, his message still has an urgency attached to it. It's this kind of like, this is what matters most kind of urgency. And what mattered most to Peter in the scripture that we're going to cover today is Christ will return. I mean, I can say it again. I'll keep saying it. I don't get tired of it. Christ will return. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's a sure thing. Absolutely sure thing. And we need to live with an urgency and a holiness and an expectation for sure. What God says will absolutely come to pass. Jesus is coming back, church, and I know it's been a long time coming. Some of you were sitting in church 20, 30, maybe even 50 years ago or more, and you've heard the message, Jesus is coming back soon. And 50 years seems like a really long time to wait, but it doesn't change the fact. It doesn't change the truth that he is absolutely coming back, and it's soon. It's soon. In the words of Smith Wigglesworth, it's a great preacher from the past. He says, faith is expectancy. It's not hoping God can. It's knowing he will. Amen? It's knowing he will. And you can certainly apply that to all of God's promises, even his promise that he's going to return. It's not just knowing he can and hoping he will return. It's knowing he's going to return. It's expectancy. And John 14, 2 through 3, Jesus said this, my house has many rooms. You guys heard this verse before. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. I will come back. That's the Savior of the world. He don't lie. He tells the truth. I will come back and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. Man, I'm going to wake you up one way or the other, but that's good news. That is good. Turn me back up. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. That's exciting stuff. He's coming back, church. And all the stuff that we go through, all the hardships, all the struggles, all the pain, all the suffering, all the garbage that we got to deal with down here, it's all going to be gone and we're going to get to be with him. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. Some of you don't even know that song. You ought to learn it. It's called Meeting in the Air. Church used to sing about stuff like this, about his second coming. And no offense to any worship song we do or any praise song that we do, but sometimes I think the worship gets so to be like, I'm struggling and I need the Lord to help me. It's like, I'm hurting and I need, all that's good. I'm not saying that's bad, but where's the music? Where's the music that says Jesus is coming back? And we can be excited and we can live with that kind of expectancy that he is coming back. It's a sure deal. It's you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen, right? That changes everything when you get a hold of that. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Forever. Right? Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We're supposed to talk about it. We're supposed to sing about it. We're supposed to dance about it. We're supposed to get joyful about it. We're supposed to have something in us that says, man, I don't care how bad it gets because Jesus is coming back and it's all going to be okay. Yeah. Right? 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 55 says this, and it's Paul talking to the Corinthian church. He says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. Can you imagine what that trumpet blast is going to be like? Oh, it'll crack the sky open. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable, this body that's going to perish, right, has been clothed with the imperishable, a body that will never perish, and the mortal, this mortal body that can die here physically, is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? We read that scripture all the time, a lot of times at funerals, a lot of times out at the gravesite. And why do we do that? Because it's hopeful. It's exciting. There's an expectancy in it that death can't hurt us. Death in this life can't hurt us. In fact, Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death's not even real. It's just a figment of the imagination for the Christian. It's the shadow of death. You don't have to experience death. And that seems to be one of the biggest fears that people have, is death. Oh, what if I die? I love what Pastor Calloway used to say. I'm going to live until I die, and then I'm going to live forever. I mean, isn't that the truth? Death has no hold on you. There's no victory there because Jesus is going to come back and it's all going to be okay. And let's not forget the revelation of Christ that was given to John on the island of Patmos when he wrote the book of Revelation. Revelation 22, 12 says this, behold, this is Jesus, I am coming quickly and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. For those of you that have been working hard, you're living for Jesus, you're going through it, you've been doing your job, you've been ministering to people, guess what? There's a day coming when you're going to get what's coming to you. Rewards. Rewards. Jesus is coming back. It's an absolute sure thing. We need to be expectant about it. This is just my intro, by the way. And that should excite us and prompt us to live expectantly and with expectancy. And this is what Peter's talking about in chapter 3. We're going to go through this today. So turn to 2 Peter 3, 1 through 7. And we're going to start with point one. Remember what he said. How do you live with expectancy? You remember what Jesus said. We've already been talking about it. But he says, dear friends, starting in verse 1. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers are going to be scoffing. It doesn't say that. Scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has gone on since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Remember the flood, right? By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. I mean, what he's saying here is they said it. The apostles, the prophets, Jesus himself said it. He's coming back and it will happen. Peter's not just telling us to casually remember that Jesus is coming back. He's saying, wake up your memory. Don't let the things that you've learned, AKA that he's coming back. You know about it. You've been told about it. You understand it, I hope. Don't let that become dull. Jesus is coming back. The prophets, as I said, the prophets foretold it. The apostles preached about it. And Jesus himself said it. There's no doubting it. Not believing he will return isn't going to change the fact that he's going to. It's a sure thing. And, you know, scoffers are going to scoff. You hear any scoffers out there today? Oh, yeah. Scoffers be scoffing. Haters are going to hate, and scoffers are going to scoff. But it won't change the facts. Jesus, the bridegroom, is coming back for the bride, which is his church. And as Christians, we aren't clinging to rumors about his return. We are anchored in the revelation that he absolutely will return. Truth always anchors. It always brings stability. Turn to your neighbor and say, truth always anchors. It does. It will anchor you. We should work at keeping this truth right in front of us, always at the forefront of our minds, remembering he is coming back, especially when things get tough in this life. Truth and remembering that he's coming back will give you incredible strength and endurance to get through whatever storm you're in. To live with expectancy is to live by faith. Faith is believing that something you cannot see is going to happen. I want you to think about that just a second. Faith is believing in something that you cannot see that it's going to happen. Amen? But if you think about fear, and I've said this before, taught this before, but fear is believing that something you cannot see is going to happen. It's like the same definition. They're very connected, but they're very polar opposite. And the reason why is because faith expects something good is going to happen, where fear expects the worst to happen. So if you have the capacity to have fear, does anybody have the capacity to have fear in here? You've feared things before? If you have that capacity, then by default, you have the capacity to live by faith. And I love the fact that Jesus told us we only need a little grain of mustard. We only need a little bit. Just a little bitty bit will do you, right? To live expectant and full of faith that all God's promises are yes and amen to those that believe. That's living expectantly. And this is especially true regarding his promise that he will return. It applies to all of his promises, but he promised he's coming back. And again, we can live expectantly of his return because he said it. God doesn't just flippantly say things and not follow through. Do you realize that whatever God says, it's going to happen? I mean, he spoke worlds into existence. He created this whole world with his words. That same word judged the world in Noah's day. We just read about that. It's the same word that will soon call his bride to come home. You see, I think Jesus is just sitting there waiting, and he wants to go, and I don't understand all the optics of that with the Trinity and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're one God, but three separate personalities, and only the Father knows, and we can get into the theology of that, but I picture it this way in my simple mind. Jesus is like, can I go get her yet? Can I go get my bride now? Because I know what it was like for me wanting to marry Alyssa. I couldn't wait. Some of you know the story. I didn't even break up with the one girl before I asked her to marry me. I couldn't wait so much. If you want to know about that, you better take us out to supper. But I couldn't wait to marry my bride. Do you remember how that felt? Donnie, do you remember how that felt? You're like, I want that woman. I want her. I want my bride. Jesus is, I don't think any different. That's why he uses the bride-bridegroom analogy in Scripture. He's just waiting. He wants to come get his church. That's his bride. We're his church. And God the Father's going to, he's got so much patience, right? He's going to say, okay, go get her. And he's going to come get her. Come get us. We got to remember what Jesus said. He is coming back. We all have busy lives, but noisy lives can distract us from keeping the main thing the main thing. I'm telling you guys, what else matters? Jesus is coming back. Are you going? Are you going to be ready? Is your family going to be ready? Are your friends going to be ready? Are your neighbors ready to go? We get so caught up in trying to do things in this world and, you know, Unless you figured it all out, the nursing home's going to get all your money anyway, so you might as well just get busy about the Father's business, right? I'm going to have a lot of text today over that one. During World War II, a young soldier carried a tattered letter from his fiance. Every night, no matter how hard the day had been, he'd pull that tattered letter out and he'd read her words again. The ink had faded, the paper was worn thin from him holding it and touching it and feeling it, knowing that she had held that same piece of paper. But those words kept his heart steady. Other soldiers would tease him, saying, "You've read that letter 100 times. Why are you reading it again? You know, you've got it memorized. You know exactly what it says." And he'd smile and say, "Yes, but every time I read it, I remember who's waiting for me." That's why we must remember what he said about his return. It reminds us of who is waiting for us, Jesus, and it reminds us that he is waiting for us as well. He can't wait. He's been preparing a place that's beyond our comprehension, a glorious place, but nothing will compare to actually being in his arms, literally wrapped up in pure love. I don't know about you, but that ignites my faith. That gets me excited, what makes me want to dance a little bit, even wearing boots. It creates an expectancy within my soul. That kind of expectancy, it really can guide your whole life. When that's the place where you're living your life from, you could call it a worldview. Do you realize how much that affects your worldview? Knowing that you know that you know that you know that he said it, so it is done. He's coming back and it's going to happen. It affects everything. So yeah, remember what he said. Number two, respond to what he's doing. 1 Peter 3:8-9, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Why is this taking so long? Why have some people been hearing this message for 50 years, their whole life, that Jesus is coming back and he hasn't come back yet? It's because God is patient. He just wants to get everybody because he loves them so much. It's not his will that anyone perishes. God's patience is not his inactivity. Hear what I'm saying. His patience is not his inactivity. It's our opportunity. Every minute, every second that goes by before the last trumpet sounds and Jesus returns is a moment in which we can reach the lost, disciple those that have been found, and serve and love those that are hurting. The only reason the Lord's return hasn't occurred already is because he loves us so much. And even though he wants us to be with him, even now, he's still trying to pull everyone he can because it's his will that no one perishes. When you live with the expectation that he will return, you won't just sit by idly and put your feet up and just kind of wait around for him to show up. When you really think about it and you understand and you live expectantly about his return, you know, you'll keep alert in regards to the signs of the times, and you'll respond to what he's doing. You will get active in the building of his kingdom. You will get busy about the Father's business. There's way too many Christians in America that aren't even thinking about the Father's business, let alone being busy about the Father's business. You won't miss the divine appointments that he sets up for you every day if you live with that kind of expectancy of his return. I love the story of Philip and the Ethiopian found in Acts 8. Philip's in the middle of revival in Samaria, and you can read this later, but Acts chapter 8, just read this story, it's so good. But Philip's in the middle of revival, he's down in Samaria, he's preaching, and people are getting saved left and right, and then God tells him through an angel, go south on the desert road to Gaza. And we've heard about Gaza in the news. This is the same area, folks. This is the same region. He says, go down to the desert road in Gaza. He doesn't get told why he should go or what will happen if he does it. He just Just go. And so he did it. He went. Philip obeys immediately. No explanation, no agenda. And he meets an Ethiopian official reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip explains the scripture to him. The man believes in the Lord. And Ethiopia gets its first convert who leaves that meeting baptized and rejoicing over all that God had done for him. It's an amazing story. It's awesome. It was a divine appointment. God took him from revival and took him to the desert. And the first convert of Ethiopia comes to pass. How many divine appointments do we all miss? Because we're not thinking about it. We're not living expectantly. Man, I tell you what, we ought to wake up every single day and say, God, what do you have for me today? What's my assignment for today? Let my ears be ready to listen to what you would have me do. And God, give me a boldness to carry out what you're calling me to do. Every morning we should have that. If you're in high school, how many high schoolers we have in here? How many middle schoolers? Even more, okay? You guys have assignments at school, but you have an assignment every single day from the Lord. And I'll even say this to you, if the numbers are still real, and I think they are, about 90% of Americans come to Christ before they walk across the graduation stage. That means you have the greatest mission field in your school of anybody in this room for America. 90%? Man, you ought to be looking for divine appointments every single day. How many old people we got in here? You have an assignment. And can I just be really blunt with you? Don't put yourself on the shelf. Don't do it. God ain't done with you yet. If he was done with you, you'd already be in the ground, your body would be in the ground, and you'd be in heaven with him. He's not done with you yet. You can still pray. You know, I'm the POA of Shirley Wade, and you might know that. She was a little lady, didn't have a lot of family who could do that for her, and so she asked me to do it, and I said yes, and it's a lot of work. Can't believe how much mail you get from Medicare and all that stuff. It's piles of it, right? It's just tons. But she used to teach Sunday school here, and she's the cutest little lady, and all three of my girls were in her Sunday school class, and she taught every single one of those girls, as there's others in here that she taught. Wonderful lady. And she's in a memory unit. She's kind of lost her ability to know who people are, and she can see them every day and not know who they are. And she knows I'm a pastor. She knows I'm her pastor. She doesn't know my name anymore. But I tell you something she does know. You start reading. Ask Megan. She's with her all the time. You start reading scripture to her, she'll finish the scripture. She'll finish the scripture. You ask her to pray, she'll pray. I don't care if your mind's gone, you still got work to do. Don't doubt that. There's still work to be done. Don't put yourself on the shelf ever, 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 ever. Besides that, you got to teach us young ones how to get her done. I recently heard about a Christian lady who was prompted by the Holy Spirit to stop at a coffee shop she normally didn't visit. And she argued with herself like so many of us do, and she didn't need another coffee, and she was already running late. But that quiet nudge of the Holy Spirit, has anyone ever had that? Just wouldn't go away, just nudging you to do something that you don't normally do, and you're like, I don't know, maybe that's the bad pizza I had last night, and not the Holy Spirit, I don't know. But it wouldn't go away, and so she went in, she ordered a drink, and she could see that the barista was very discouraged. So she simply said, hey, I don't know what's going on with you, but you seem kind of discouraged, and I guess I'm here to tell you that God, he wants you to know that he loves you and that he sees you. He sees you. The barista instantly burst into tears because that morning she had prayed, God, if you're real, show me that you see me. The very words she prayed were the very words that were spoken by a total stranger. Divine appointments all over the place, all the time. We have to live expectant for the Lord's return. It's exciting when you do that. It will actually cause you to respond to all that God is doing around you because your mind is focused on what is coming. And you'll just, your eyes will be open, your ears will be open, and things will begin to happen. And you'll just have all these little moments and moments and moments. You'll be like, yep, got that done. What's my next assignment, Lord? Are we his hands and feet? I mean, some of us, we say we're his hands and feet as the church, but then we just sit and we like, you know, we don't do anything. If we're his hands and feet, we ought to be doing stuff because God's not sitting idly by, right? He's busy. And think about this. We get to be a part of what he's doing. I mean, the God of the universe is willing to use us, little old me. How amazing that God wants us to be, to use us to be a part of his plan in building his kingdom. It's an amazing thing. I mean, he even sends people to Africa, doesn't he, Barb? Yeah. We have an African missionary here today from Botswana. We love her and her husband and her family. Life's not boring for the Christian. You never know how your next obedient act to Christ is going to change someone's eternity. You just don't know. You could be encouraging somebody who, you know, is the next Billy Graham. You don't know. So yeah, we have to remember what he said. We have to respond to what he's doing. And number three, we got to rejoice in what he's promised. 2 Peter 3:10-11 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare." That doesn't sound like a nice day, but this is a great day, folks. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Yeah, we know that, right? We've been talking about that for weeks, it seems like. All these things that Peter says, we got to live holy, we got to live with humility, we got to live with hope in all these things that we've talked about. But as you look forward, this is verse 12, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, I love that as well. Do you realize he just said we can speed the day of the Lord? We can speed its coming. That's what it says, right? As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. How do you speed its coming? You share Christ with everybody you know, and when the last person has heard the gospel, he's coming back. Well, I don't want him to come back. I'm kind of scared, so I think I won't talk about Jesus to anybody. Or I'm excited about him coming back. You see what I'm saying? We can speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Talking about way, way out in the future, but this is going to be an awesome day. And some people get nervous or even scared when you start talking about the rapture of the church and the judgment of God and the new heavens and the new earth and the millennial reign and all these things. They get a little nervous, but there's nothing to be scared of if you have Jesus as your Savior. Absolutely nothing. This is the time that evil is going to get what it deserves. Woo! Finally. I mean, that wasn't even an Iowa. Woo! That was a woo! Right? Evil's going to get what it deserves. It's going to be picked up and thrown into the fire forever, locked away, and it will never return. I love that. I love that evil is going to be gone. The source of it, Satan himself, all those that follow him. Yeah, that might be sad if you love some of them, but evil is evil and evil will be punished because God is just. Well, God doesn't judge people. He absolutely does. He does. If he didn't judge people, we wouldn't need Jesus to save us. There's nothing to be scared of, though. Again, evil gets what it deserves. And those who have been made righteous through Christ will get rewarded for what they've done. It is going to be a day. Oh my. Peter says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The coming of Christ will be sudden. It will happen when no one is expecting it. But for believers, it's not going to be a surprise at all. The world will be caught off guard, but we'll be caught up together in the clouds. There's no reason to fear what he's promised. We should rejoice in it. You know, I'm kind of happy because when we get caught up in the clouds, if we're still living in his return, we get to leave this old body right here. I mean, it's not just going to fall over dead and we go. I mean, it's going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to get a new body. I could use a new body. Something happened when I turned 50. When I do stairs, I look for a handrail now. Because my knees hurt. I used to think about that when we had pews in here. You know, some people are a little heavier than others. Is that truth? Okay. So when they kneel down, they grab the pew in front of them until the knees give way and plop, right? And there was pews that were old in here, and they were starting to bust because of the plop, right? That's true. The other thing that happened is when they were hanging onto the pew in front of them as they were going down, they would yank it, and they were getting very loose, and so you could go like this with some of the pews, and they were moving. And as sure as I'm standing here, that's what had happened. Something happens when you get older. Your body starts wearing out. Your knees start hurting. You have aches and pains you never thought you had before. Can any old people say, amen, that's me? Yeah. It happens. And young people, you can look at them and go, oh, you're just lazy. No, you're going to be there too one day. You're going to feel what we feel. But even in the midst of tired bodies, even in the midst of aches and pains, I can say with such a thankful, expectant heart that Jesus is coming back and I don't have to live in this body forever. I get a new one. And it's new and improved. You think I look good now, Alyssa? You wait till then. I'm going to be good looking. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think I got the Holy Ghost goosebumps going on. It's going to be so good. Do you realize, church, how good it's going to be? It's going to be good. There's no reason to fear what he's promised. We should rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You all know it? And we don't think of that scripture in reference to fearing the promise of Christ's return very often, because contextually, Paul was actually writing to Timothy in that scripture about having courage in ministry, not to have the spirit of fear. But thematically, it absolutely applies to how we need to approach the end times. The spirit of fear is really any kind of fear that would cause us to shrink back. Fear of persecution, fear of the future, fear of what's coming, fear of the unknown. But the Holy Spirit in us produces power, love, and a sound mind, which are exactly what we need when we think about the return of Christ. We don't have to be panickins. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a panickin. Some of you, that's a new word. Don't know if that one's in the dictionary, but don't be a panickin. Because living with fear and dread of what will happen tomorrow, you don't have to be a panickin about that. We can confidently rejoice with expectancy for the future. And when the Holy Spirit is producing power, a love, and giving you a sound mind to do what he's called you to do, life becomes adventurous and fulfilling. Fear will always pull you away from God's will. Holy Spirit power, love, and control over our racing thoughts will land you right in the middle of God's will for your life every time. We don't have to panic about what's coming. We can live with absolute peace, church. We can live with absolute peace because we know who's coming. And his name is Jesus. He's coming back for us. Woo. I mean, can I get an ow? There you go. Bunch of crazy Iowans. You know, I saw a video the other day of a young boy, and many of you have seen videos like this. I always stop and watch them because I love them, but it was of a young boy and his mom at the airport. The little boy was waiting for his dad to come home from deployment. He was so excited and holding on tight to a sign that said, "Welcome home, Daddy." Every time a plane taxied up, he'd shout to his mom, "Is that my dad's plane? Is that him?" Finally, his dad came through the doors wearing his full uniform, and his son recognized him immediately. The boy took off running, left his mom, took off running. Dad dropped his bags and opened his arms out wide, and his son jumped into his embrace. It was pure joy. There was no hesitation whatsoever, a full-on sprint to get wrapped up in his father's love. That's the kind of expectancy that Peter's talking about. No doubt, no fear, just joyful expectancy. And there's coming a day when we're going to be able to run into the Father's arms, jump up and experience his embrace, and everything that was bad in this life, everything that was tough in this life, everything that was a struggle in this life will be melted away by his loving embrace. Every pain, every sorrow, every bit of depression, every bit of anxiety, it will be melted away. And it can be melted away now in his presence, for sure. But on that day, it can't even exist, even a little bit. Oh, there's a blessed time that's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or noon. I love these songs. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the king when he comes. Right? Great song. Sing a song of celebration. Lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come. You know that one? Some of you don't know that one. The chorus is, we will dance on the streets that are golden. The glorious sun. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. Oh, there's fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. He's riding a white horse all across this land. I mean, I sing songs like that and I get excited. We ought to be rejoicing all the time about what's coming for us. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. I mean, these are the songs of the saints, church. These are the songs that you sing to yourself when you're feeling tough, when you're going through it. And they're all, so many of them are about the return of Christ. Those old songs. We sing those songs and we build ourselves up and we're like, you know what? Yeah, it's tough, but my future is so bright that my struggle pales in comparison. Woo! Woo! So yeah, we got to remember what he said. We got to respond to what he's doing. And we definitely got to rejoice in what he's promised. Amen. That's what we got to do. Church, stand up. Let's pray. Father God, we're so excited for all that you have in store for those that love you. And God, today we say this unashamedly. We love you. You are our Savior. You are our Lord. We declare you as such. We want to live for you. And God, we want you to just give us our marching orders every single day to respond to what you're doing. God, we know what you said. We understand that you are coming back. And Lord, we are rejoicing in that. Father God, I ask that you would send us out of here this morning with a new bounce in our step. We're not heavy-hearted this morning. We're excited. Our demeanor is not one of depression and weighty guilt or shame and all this stuff, Lord. This morning, we leave all of that at your feet, and we say, praise the Lord for what's coming down the pike. And God, I pray that you would make us more ready than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for being a part of the Indianola First podcast. Join us next week to stay updated on our latest messages.